Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Esther Miltiades, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in North London, England. Esther has worked a lot with children in her teaching career, and she works with Sue Mary, another Alexander Technique teacher in England, at the Educare Small School in Kingston. And she's also an assistant teacher for the Developing Self, a specialized postgraduate training course for Alexander teachers working in education. She also teaches one-on-one with adults and children in her private practice, and she gives workshops. Esther, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's lovely to be here with you.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. I've seen a lot of material you've posted about your work with children.
Yes.
And I want to talk today about that work. But before we get into it, could you give our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Lovely. Okay. So I think... Alexander Technique teaches us the skills to respond to stimuli in a more coordinated, poised, and considered way, which helps improve both physical and mental well-being.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And usually we think of poor habits of posture and movement being something that adults deal with, but
I
from my experience, and I'm sure yours, that's not always just the case, that children too can have developed some problems, right?
Yeah, that's true. We often see poor posture coming in sort of at the age of 7 or so when children are sitting down more at school. Absolutely.
School's the killer.
Yes.
Yeah. So now you work with Sue Mary, who's been working. I don't know her very well, but I know that she's spent years and years working with children. And you work with her at what's called the Educare Small School in Kingston.
Yes.
Could
That's
you
right.
say a little bit about how that school operates, what goes on, and who comes to it, and what you do, in whatever order you'd like to cover that?
Absolutely. Well, Educare's been established for about 20 years now. It had its 20th anniversary last year.
Uh-huh.
And it was set up by Liz Steinthal, a head teacher, and with Sue Mary as well as an Alexander Technique teacher. And it's really got Alexander Technique at its heart. It's sort of built in to the daily and weekly life at Educare. And it's part of the Educare philosophy is perfect the means and the end will take care of itself. So it's really looking at how we learn, how they do the things that they do, and supporting the children so that they can really achieve their goals, but staying embodied at the same time.
Could we just pause for a second here? That ends and means, maybe you could just elaborate on that a little bit for our listeners who are not familiar with that terminology. Perhaps give an example of what you're talking about.
Well, children often get very caught up with the goal, the sort of they need to write something, and they lose themselves in that. They're just very focused on finishing a piece of work or doing whatever they've been asked to do, and they often lose their bodies within that. And they're also not taught how to be with the process of that learning.
Mm-hmm.
So the Alexander Technique really helps them to firstly stay with their bodies while they're learning what they're learning and really look after themselves, and also gives them the idea that the process is all part of it. It's not just the end goal that's important. It's how you do the things that you do.
And that's really a core principle of the Alexander Technique in general, right? That
absolutely
it's not so much what we do. The let's put it this way, I guess. Alexander teachers are not so much interested in what we do as how we do it.
Absolutely.
Because
yes.
that's, if we don't do things well, we create all sorts of problems for ourselves, our physical
Definitely.
Mechanism, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
another quick question before we go any further, is the school, the Educare small school, is it a full-time alternative to a regular school? And what age range of students
go
there?
It's a full-time school, and it's kindergarten and primary school. So we take pupils from age 3 through to 11 years old when they go up to secondary school. And yes, it's Monday to Friday, full-time education. And there, it is a small school.
Right.
There's approximately about 50 pupils in total. And there's that's sort of structured so that there's about 16 or so pupils in kindergarten, and then there's key stage one, which is sort of 5 to 7 year olds in one class, and then key stage two in the slightly older class, sort of 8 to 11 year olds.
And could you give an example, a specific example of how you bring Alexander principles to bear on a, let's say, a particular child or group while they're doing some other activity like drawing or writing or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do specific activities with individual children. So they get the opportunity to work with us one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And we often work with particular sort of drawing sort of exercises where they can do something in a very flowing way with their pens, but then they can look after their bodies, be the boss of their bodies while they're doing that, and they learn the language that enables them to articulate what they're doing with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But generally within the classroom, I also sort of hover around with my lovely open hands, and I put hands on them while they're doing their work, and just reminding them to come back to themselves every now and then. And we do the same with the teachers while they're teaching, so that it's a whole school activity. It's not just about the pupils. The teachers are embodying it too.
Mm-hmm. And again, for our listeners who may not be familiar with Alexander Technique teaching, could you say a little more about those lovely open hands? What is the role of a teacher putting their hands on a student? What's the purpose, and how does it differ from something like massage or that sort of thing?
They're sort of open, receptive hands, soft, and when we're working with children, it's quite minimal, the hands-on that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need a great deal of hands-on work. It's just a little help to remember the directions. So it tends to be a bit of a hand on the top of their heads to remember them, to remind them that they can float their heads up, and also help them thinking about their shoulders being like runny custard. That's how we describe it. So they're not scrunchy, they're soft, and my hands will be guiding them in that.
You're teaching them what are called Alexander directions, and maybe it would be good to define that. And it sounds like you're teaching them using a different vocabulary than you might use with adult students. So could you say a little bit about what directions are and some more examples or some specific examples of those directions that you find helpful for small children?
Yeah. Well, they learn their directions initially through wonderful stories that Sue Merry has written about two characters, Digby Down and Terry Tall. And they have their magic words. So their magic words are, which help them do everything much more easily. They have to stop, and they think about their heads being like a floaty balloon, and their shoulders are like runny custard, and their bodies are soft and tall. And then once they've paused and thought about those directions, then they can go off and do what they're doing and think about what they're up to as well as their bodies. So they're the main directions that we use. And then we get them to understand that what are the opposite of those things, having scrunchy shoulders or sort of tall and hard bodies. When children overdo the directions and think they have to be tall, they're often really rigid and can't breathe. And so we sort of encourage them to think of that being very soft, soft and tall, floaty and gentle, and lots of descriptive words that help them embody the Alexander technique, but are very child friendly.
And do you encourage them to use those kinds of directions outside of the school situation as well?
We have, yes, indeed. They get to think of the Alexander technique as a sort of toolkit that they can carry anywhere with them. So as well as working with them one-to-one on things like drawing or in PE or things like that, we have Alexander quiet time that we do after lunch every day. And those sort of tools of calming themselves and thinking about stopping and pausing are all part of their toolkit that they're encouraged to use whenever and however they need them. So, yeah.
And do you teach them constructive rest?
Yes, yes.
So maybe you could describe that a little bit again for our listeners who are not familiar with it.
Well, all of the children in the school from 3 years old and upwards get the chance to have a lie down after after lunch. And for the very little ones, it is just literally lying down for 10 minutes, and we're not too worried about how they do that. Although we do teach them semi-supine. So that's lying down with their backs and their heads resting on the floor, their legs bent and their soles of their feet on the floor, and their hands just resting gently on their tummies. And the older children get to do that for about 20 minutes. So we use a mixture of some brain gym positions, first position hookup, which is slightly different than lying in constructive rest in semi-supine. And then they move to lying in semi-supine for half of the lie down. So,
And it might be useful just to tell our listeners that that position, constructive rest or semi-supine, however you want to call it, is, and as you say, the key elements are firm surface, something under the head, knees elevated relative to the hips, that sort of thing, that is a position that takes away as much compression from your body as pretty much is possible in a normal gravitational field. It's a pretty powerful process.
It's great.
It was one that really anyone could benefit from using, even if they're not having Alexander lessons. But
definitely,
I would imagine that teaching small children that is just incredibly useful.
I think it is. I think it's really useful that for them to have that skill of coming back to themselves and really resting and being quiet and being mindful of their bodies and just having that space, you know, that really inner space to connect with themselves, which is often missing in their lives. You know, it's they don't get a chance to do that very often. And having worked at Educare, I sort of take it for granted that children can do it, but then going in meeting other children or going into a different school that's not familiar with it, you suddenly realise that actually these children are really good at just being able to be still because they've practised it, because they've got those skills that Alexander Technique has taught them over time.
Right, and not being still by holding themselves rigidly, but just being where they are comfortably. Yeah. So what do you see as the kids progress through the school? Because as you said earlier, usually by the age of seven or so, most kids have already developed some pretty harmful habits that seem, at least in part, connected with their school experience, which is not surprising in most cases because of the terrible furniture and backpacks and just everything about school, the way it's structured, kind of conspires to make that happen. So what do you see with the kids that go through your school?
Well, what we notice the most is that they have these tools that they can come back to themselves. So they're not little Alexandroids. They're not all sitting there absolutely perfectly upright all
Thank
the time.
Thank goodness for that.
Absolutely. They're moving and they're wriggling and they're, you know, scrunching sometimes. But when you remind them, when they come back, they have all that ability to, oh, yes, they can remember their floaty balloon heads. They can think about their honey-custard shoulders, and they know what they're doing with their bodies. They've got that conscious awareness, that choice available to them about how to use themselves with more poise and less tension, and how to relieve the tension if they have been working sort of with less than perfect posture for a while.
Right.
So I think it's an empowering thing. Yeah, it gives them that choice to choose something that's healthier for themselves.
And I think that's what's missing for an awful lot of kids, not to mention adults, the ability to actually make a choice in that area. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So is there anything else about your work at the school that you'd like to mention before we come to an end?
Well, I could say a little bit more of the structure of the day that's very particular to EduCare.
Sure.
I mean, every day, whether there's an Alexander Technique teacher there or not, we start with a movement circle, which is sort of unique to EduCare. And they do movements that where they're thinking about their Alexander directions and being aware of their bodies and how they're doing them, and they're there to help them sort of energize themselves and then focus in so that they're ready to start the day. So that's a really lovely way that EduCare starts, and really the moment they come in through even going back before that, actually before the children come into the classroom or come into the school, they stop and a teacher puts hands on their fronts and backs. So there's that moment of stopping and pausing and thinking about themselves before they even come into EduCare and start with the movement circle. So that's really lovely. And then obviously they get work with Alexander teachers on a regular basis in groups, and that's partly storytelling or drawing or PE or anatomy, just depending on what we want to do with them and what's most important for them at that time. And then they have their quiet time after lunch, which I think really helps refocus them after lunchtime and playing out and being high energy, and then they focus back into their work again. And from a teacher's perspective, the teachers get regular lessons with us too now. So and we're really working with setting up transitions, and we have a checklist on the walls around the school to encourage the children and the teachers to think about coming back to themselves and pausing and thinking about Alexander Technique at regular intervals.
So we're going to have another interview about just generally the Alexander Technique in children. But it's from your description of the school, it sounds like Alexander's dream, because that this is what he wanted more than anything else. Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second interview more. So maybe this is a good time to bring this interview to a close. My guest today has been Esther Miltiadis, an Alexander Technique teacher in North London. She works at the Educare Small School in Kingston, and she's an assistant teacher for the Developing Self, a specialized postgraduate training course for Alexander teachers that's oriented to helping them work with children. I will put a link to Esther's website by the interview if you're in the London area and you want to connect with her. You can do that through her site. I'll also put a link to a site that provides more information about the technique and will enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Esther, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you too for inviting me to be part of it. That's great. Thank you.